Turning your Bibles to Philippians chapter number 4. We'll start reading there in verse 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the peace of God shall be with you." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for everyone that's come out to be in your house, Lord, this morning. I just pray, Lord, you would give me the words you would have me to say, Lord. Just break our hearts open that we may take your word, apply it to our lives so that others may see you in us. We just thank you and praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. There in verse 4, Paul's telling the church to rejoice in the Lord always. We think about, this is the letter that Paul was writing to the church here. The Philippians was one of the better churches that Paul had at the time. It caused him the least amount of problems. They took their calling seriously. They hadn't got diverted off track. Verse 1 tells us there that they were his joy and his crown. They were one of the churches that were doing what they were supposed to do. And yet, Paul's here for four verses later, reminding them that they need to rejoice in the Lord always. He even repeated it. You know, a lot of times I think as Christians, when we look around at people that confess to be Christians, we see a lot of frowns instead of a lot of smiles. The devil has tricked us into trying to bear the weight of the world on our own shoulders and trying to figure out our own problems, and as such we forget to rejoice. And Paul's saying, hey, even in the valleys you have something to be thankful for. You have something to rejoice and thank the Lord for. I mean, everybody in this room has something to be thankful for. We're here. We're in a country that allows us to come. I can stand up here and talk to you, and I'm not worried about somebody coming in and shooting me or killing me because I'm standing up here reading God's word. We all came in. I mean, sometimes we forget the little things. All of us have ears. As far as I know, all of us can hear. That's something right there to be thankful for. Even when times are bad, we can sit there and say, Lord, thank you, I have ears, I can hear, and I can understand what was said. Not always like what I hear, but you know, I am thankful whenever we see, you know, people that are less fortunate than we are. We're reminded just how truly blessed we are. If we can see, we can hear, we can talk. We're better than a lot of people right there. You know, I don't know what problems you're going through or what you're facing here today, what roadblocks the devil's put in the path of your life, but I know every one of us has something to be thankful for, and Paul's reminding us to rejoice always. He follows that up in verse 5 by saying, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. My Bible has moderation translated as self-control. You know, when I was thinking about this verse, I thought, okay, how are we supposed to have self-control when we're telling everybody that the Lord is at hand? One of the examples the Lord gave me was, we have to be controlled. Yes, we're expecting the Lord to come any day. He could come while we're here at church, or it could be a year from now, it could be 10 years from now. We don't know, but we know it's close. So as an example of being moderate and being in self-control, we wouldn't want to go out to the bank and say, borrow $1 million and say, well, I'm not worried about paying it back because the Lord's coming back. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying, you know, we have to be in self-control. Everything we do, we need to be controlled at, whether it be our tongues, whether it be our minds, our actions. Everything we do, we need to be in control of, because the Lord is at hand, and we need to be that example to the world. After all, the only Jesus some people may see is the Jesus that's in you and me. So what is the Jesus they're seeing? Are we giving them a true picture? Or are we giving them a murky, poor painting of what Christ truly is? Paul tells us in verse 6 how to have that clear picture. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." He's telling us again to be thankful. After all, God's already answered a bunch of prayers for us, hasn't he? We have, and we need to let God know that we are thankful for what he does for us. You know, a lot of times people's prayers is, I need. The Lord already knows about our needs, but he also wants to hear our praises. He wants to hear our thanks. Just as parents, we like to hear our kids thank us and tell us the things that we've done that they've enjoyed and they liked. Instead of always hearing, I won't. Same between us and our Heavenly Father. He wants to hear our thanksgiving. He wants to see our humble heart. In doing that, we need to take everything to him in prayer. Paul tells us, starting off there in the verse, it says, "Be careful for nothing." You think, well, what does being careful have to do with being prayer? Well, a lot of times we get so careful that we don't do anything. Like when we go and we want to witness to somebody, the devil will come and say, you know, they're going to reject you, and then what are they going to think? Maybe we're trying to witness at work, we'll be like, well, what are our coworkers going to think if we try to witness? Or what will our friends think? So we take the safe road and don't say anything. We're being careful. We're trying to watch after our image and our reputation instead of focusing on God. Paul's reminding us, be careful for nothing, but in everything, start with prayer and supplication. Before we go witness, we need to pray about it. Ask the Lord to give us those words, give us the time. Prepare the place for us. He will do it. And he's telling us, you know, let our requests be made known unto God. God knows our need, but we still need to talk to him about it. You know, prayer is a two-way street. It's not just I need. Part of prayer is listening for the response and listening for the instructions from God. And then Paul tells us, once we accomplish those things, in verse 7 he says, "And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." You know, once we've prayed and we've given our cares, our concerns, our burdens over to the Lord and said, "Lord, they're yours. I can't solve them. Only you can." It's like the weight of the world is lifted off our shoulders. Then can we truly have the peace of God which passes all understanding? When the world looks at Christians, they're not expecting us to have no problems and life just to be a bed of roses. What they're truly looking at is to see how we handle our problems during our afflictions. What they're looking for is that peace of God in us. That peace, that calmness that says, hey, you know, I don't have all the answers, but I know who does. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I know that he is watching out over me and it's going to be okay. And when we have that peace, then it keeps our hearts and our minds. A lot of times our mind is our worst enemy, because that's where the devil's putting all the thoughts of worry, concern, what if. We always tend to think the worst case scenario. And the devil's just planting those ideas in our head to deceive us and to keep our faith from God. We get to dwelling on the problems instead of dwelling on the solution. We could also use the saying to what Paul's saying here. It says, be anxious for nothing. You know, you think about it, worry, confusion, pressures, uncertainty about the future. If we begin to list all the things that worry us, concern us, that are on our mind in the world today, a lot of times we probably just get plain out depressed. There's always bills that need to be paid. There's always problems to be solved. And we don't have the answer for all those problems. But yet Paul's telling us here, hey, remember who does. Take them to him. Let him handle them. He'll give us that peace. And Paul follows that up in verse 8 with saying, all right, if you, peace is going to keep your minds, these are the things that should be in your mind. Verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be of any virtue, there be of any praise, think on these things. So Paul's telling us, if the thoughts that are in our head aren't on this list, we need to get rid of them. You know, when there's a lot of self-help books out there on the market today. They're not Christian books, and they'll tell you, you know, the power of positive thinking. If you think good things will happen. Well, that's partially true. They left the God equation out of it. Paul's telling us here that, yes, we do need to think on things that are true, that are honest, that are just, that are pure, that are lovely, of good report. We do need to think about and concentrate on the positive things in our life. If anything's not on this list, we need to get rid of it. It's the peace of God that guards our heart and our mind. And part of that is being conscious and praying to God, saying, you know, Lord, open my eyes. When something comes into my mind that doesn't need to be there, open my eyes so that I can see it, so that I can get rid of it. And he will. Paul gives us a list there to help us. When we get thoughts that aren't on this list, we know they're not from him, they're from the devil. And the devil will stick in thoughts in our head and fill us full of junk. But you know, the Bible tells us that we have to cast down every high imagination that exalts itself against God. So Paul's reminding us that, hey, take it to prayer. Talk to God about it. Because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we have that relationship with him if we've accepted him. We can take it straight to him. We can cast those cares, those burdens, those problems on him. He can carry the weight for us. Once we do that, we have our peace. And once we have the peace, the devil's going to come and try to steal and rob our peace away. All we have to do is make sure that what's in our mind is on this list of things right here in the Bible. That our thoughts are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, of praise. Those are the things that we are to think on. You know, that's not an easy task, because the devil will try to challenge us. He will put thoughts in our head. Just like right now, instead of listening to me, the devil's probably putting thoughts in your heads about, oh, what are we going to eat for lunch? What are we going to do this afternoon? How much longer is he going to be? Is he about through yet? Man, I sure am hungry. I didn't eat breakfast this morning. Those are all distractions that are come from the devil. Think about it. Modern science will tell us that stress basically causes most illnesses. But as Christians, we shouldn't have stress, should we? Because we should have the peace of God, the exact opposite of stress, worry, anxiety. After all, we shouldn't be thinking of ourselves. We should be focusing on God and what he wants us to do, what Jesus is telling us to do. Paul follows that up in verse 9 with saying, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the peace of God shall be with you. Paul's telling them, hey, I walk the walk, I talk the talk. It worked for me, it'll work for you. Now, if we think about this, Paul was writing this letter to the church when he was in jail in Rome. So, you know, if a man that's in jail behind bars with no freedom can sit there and say, hey, rejoice, be thankful. Surely those of us that are on the outside that have our freedom, we can certainly find a lot to be thankful for in our lives. You know, and a lot of times we think, you know, I can't do that. That's too hard. I can't do it. Well, Paul finishes up in verse 13. Jump in. It says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So Paul's saying, hey, you have no excuse. We can do it through Christ. He will be here for us. He gives us his peace. A lot of times we talk about peace. You hear about peace at funerals. You hear about peace in the valley. But you know, peace should be with us all times. We're on the mountaintop as well as when we're in the valley. You know, the devil wants to rob us of that peace, because that peace is what the world is looking for in us. If he can weigh us down, if he can rob us of our peace, then a lot of times he can rob us of our testimony and our actions when people are looking at us. It's not that our problems are different from those of the world's, it's how we answer our problems and how we handle our problems that separate us from the lost. As Christians, we should always have that peace of God, because we should always be in prayer for everything. As the lady sung earlier, if we can walk out the door, we have something to be thankful for, right? And every time we go out the door, we need to be praying. Lord, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you, you know, for getting me up, getting me ready. Thank you, Lord, for the house that I live in. And asking him for his protection when we get on the road, whether we're going to work, or going out to do something fun, or whatever we may be doing, we need to be in prayer with the Lord. In closing, I'll say that if you want a testimony, you're going to have tests. Your testimony is how we handle our trials and our tests. If we have the peace of God so we can think clearly and receive instructions from him, God will give us a testimony that others will want what we have. On the flip side, if we're stressed out, worried, ill, emotional, the world is not going to see Jesus in us, and they're going to say, hey, we don't want that. We've already got it. So we should be different. We should have the peace of the Lord in us, regardless of what roadblock the devil throws in front of us. I don't know your situation today, but I'm sure somebody here has lost their joy in life. The devil has thrown an unexpected curveball in their path, and you've lost your joy. And I just want to say to you, hey, as Paul said, rejoice. Start with the little stuff. When we start thanking the Lord for our little things, whether it just be for hearing, for our sight, our joy comes back, because we are focusing on the Lord instead of focusing on our problems, focusing on our blessings.